You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Thank you for asking me to come to talk tonight. Who was excited about fall? Man, what all these great activities. I'm excited. And of course, cooler weather. Everybody's ready for that. So I've had the pleasure over the last, couple months of meeting some of you guys. And tonight met more, and in the upcoming months, hope to get to meet all of you and get to know you all a little better. As Leslie said, I am Perrin Murray. I'm married to Tom, the new vice dean here at the Advent. In April, we will be married for 30 years. So I think I'll keep him at this point. So we have four kids. Our oldest is Virginia. She's 27. She just moved to LA, so we're trying to get used to that. We have a son, William, who's 25, who lives in Jacksonville. He's still in school. And then Evelyn, who joined us tonight, she's in Atlanta. She graduated from Sewanee a year and a half ago. And then our youngest is Sophie, who's 20, who's at NC State. She's a junior there. Any of you that have met Tom have probably also heard that we have two dogs that we love. Bishop, who's a golden doodle, and Gus, who is our Maltipoo, who actually came to the office, I think, last week. So Tom was a youth minister for Frank Limehouse, which I know a lot of you know. And when we got married, he already had aspirations to be a minister. So I'd like to say I knew what I was getting myself into, or at least I thought it did. So tonight I'm going to just tell you a little bit about my spiritual journey and just why I'm excited for this fall programming. So some of you have asked me. I was born, Perrin Steele was my maiden name, and I was born and raised in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Go Deeks, or in my house it was Go Tar Heels. My name, Perrin, is a family name. It was a last name way back in my family, and my grandfather was William Perrin, my dad, a junior. And then I was going to be Perrin if I was a boy or a girl. So let's see. So my parents were also both born in Winston-Salem. They actually knew each other in kindergarten, dated in high school, got married when they were 19. And then 3 years after that, they had my brother. And 2.5 years later, I was born. So our family, you know, was pretty normal. My dad finished college at UNC, which is, you know, the Tar Heels, and he was in the Marine Corps, Vietnam, then finished and worked for our family brick business for a couple years, and then he decided he wanted to do his own thing, did construction, and then became a licensed architect. My mother was a stay-at-home mom. She stayed home with my brother and I. So, my dad grew up in the Presbyterian church, and my mother grew up in the Methodist church. But when my brother and I were little, we didn't go to church. I don't really remember talking about God in our house when I was little. I also don't really remember not talking about it. Being born in the South, you know, Southern culture. I knew about God. I felt like God was creator and that God was good. But that was kind of the depth of what it was. So in 1979, the Christmas after I turned 8, my brother and I woke up early on Christmas morning, like kids do, so excited to go see what Santa had left us under the tree. And we go to wake up our parents, and it just was taking a long time, you know, like it just wasn't, you know, normal. And we realized after time went on that something just wasn't right. So it ended up that my mother was sick, and they thought that it was just a stomach virus. She'll get over it in a couple days. But as the days went on, she got sicker and sicker. And on January 6th, she died. So I was in the second grade. And as you all can imagine, and as some of you yourselves may have experienced, our life just was thrown into total chaos. And we struggled to find that new normal, you know? Our family was very traditional, and my dad didn't know how to cook. I mean, it was a crazy time. But one thing I do remember is our neighbors pitching in, bringing us meals, running errands, taking care of my brother and I. And I just vividly remember just the outpouring of love that we received from our community during that time. As time went on, I spent more and more time at friends' houses. And one neighborhood friend that I spent a lot of time with was very involved in her church. And she did choir and youth group and Sunday school and worship. And whenever the doors were open, she was there. And because she was there and I was at her house, that meant that I was there. And I just remember just feeling so welcomed, and just so people were glad to see me, and it just felt like a really great place to be for me. Also during this time, I had a cousin named Charlie who was 8 years older than me, and he was sharing with my brother and I during this time how Young Life was changing his life. And he just had this new hope for life. And I didn't really understand at the time what he was trying to, you know, tell us. I was young. But what really grabbed my attention was this 16-year-old high school boy who my brother and I thought was like the coolest guy in the world. He had this desire and urgency to tell us about God. And, that made a big impact. So after a few years, my dad remarried and brought two stepbrothers into our family. And, but also during this time, alcohol had become a big part of his life. And the kids were all being taken care of, and all our needs were met, but we were just left to really figure out a lot of things on our own. I mean, I think back in that day, you know, we didn't have the umbilical cord that everybody has, you know, today with their kids. But I think in a different way, we were kind of left to do some things on our own. But my biological brother at the time, he really took it upon himself just to look out for me and pursue me. And this was just one of God's great provisions in my life. See, Scott, like my cousin Charlie, had also become a Christian through Young Life early in high school. And he taught me about Jesus. He prayed with me, and he's the one that really encouraged me to say the sinner's prayer. I don't know if any of y'all are familiar with that. It's a very Young Life thing. But for those of you that don't know it, I just wanted to say it real fast. So it says, "Dear Jesus, I am a sinner. I ask you for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins, and I rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust you. I want to follow you as my Lord and Savior." So, when I got to high school, I was super excited about going to Young Life. I'd heard all this stuff all this time about Young Life. And I went to Young Life Camp, Frontier Ranch, and Windy Gap, for those of you that are familiar. I was all in, or at least I thought I was. But I would go on these mountaintop experiences, and then I would come back and just didn't really feel like things were really changing in my life. I believed in God. I had witnessed real transformation in people that I really loved and cared about. I had asked God to be my Lord and Savior, but just things weren't changing. I wasn't seeing the change. So of course I was just questioning, you know, why were others having these experiences and I wasn't? Like, so college was a disaster. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I was just acutely aware of this huge void in my life, but I just couldn't figure it out. I felt like I had no purpose, I had no meaning, and honestly, I was just getting really depressed. And then one night, at the peak of this depression, I just cried out to God and just said, if this is what it's all about, then I don't want it. You know, if this is what you have for me, it just isn't enough. And at that point, things really changed for me. I felt God's presence in a way that I hadn't felt it before. I had a peace, and I could clearly see for the first time that God had been with me ever since I was a little girl. And that throughout my life, he had been revealing himself to me and pursuing me, but I was the one that had been holding back. I had been, you know, dipping my toes in the water, but I had just been too scared to just dive in. And that night, I knew that I had to jump in. I mean, I just knew that the time had come. So this is when church became my safe haven. So I was baptized and confirmed in the Episcopal Church as an adult. I re-met Tom, and at the same time, we got married, and we were both feeling called to ministry. Tom to ordained ministry, and me just to a more supportive role. But for the purposes of the fall kickoff tonight, I just wanted to highlight that my involvement in church over the years has taken many forms, especially as a clergy wife, which is, you know, another talk for another night. But, you know, I've done worship, Bible study, fellowship, through having mentors, being involved in small group. And through prayer, God has just taught me so much about his love and about his love for his people. My connection through the body of Christ, through fellow Christians, has allowed me to be in tune to what God is doing in me and around me and through me. So Leslie shared with me when, well, not too long ago, but when I was kind of starting to think about this talk, she shared with me that the theme for some of the programming at the Advent this year is God with us. So I hope that my testimony bears witness that God was always with me. I just didn't have the eyes to see it at the time. And my hope is that through the fall programming and fellowship that the Advent has, that the Lord will provide all of us with eyes to see where God is working in our lives, in this faith community, and in all of those that we love. So thank you for letting me share my story. There's a lot more, but nobody wants to hear all that tonight. So anyway, I'm happy to answer any questions that you guys might have.
Yeah. So you said that this conversion sort of experience, you said you were an adult. Would you mind sharing like how old you were?
Well, I was in my 20s. Okay. Yeah, early 20s. So it was college. You know, I'd gone off to college at 18. That wasn't working out. Then I waited tables, this, that, and the other, and just was really struggling. So around 20 is when, or between 20 and 21 is when. So I was kind of an adult. At least as the doctor's office says, right? Oh, geez. So, yeah, I didn't grow up that way. I really started out doing non-denominational because that is more Young Life. But I met Tom, and that's he brought me up. Well, and my stepmother actually is Episcopalian. So later, after my dad remarried, we would go Christmas and Easter to the Episcopal Church, but mainly Tom. So. Anybody else? Yeah, I think, it's such a journey. We all have our journey. And, I think in reflecting is when we really see, when you're in the valley, when you're in that pain and darkness, it's hard to see where God's working in your life. And it's really through reflecting back on that you can see where he had his hand in those places. So anyway, I'm good. Thank you for asking. I'm good. I think, so I've told some of you, I told you I struggled in school. So I actually went back to college when I was 48. Woohoo! So three of the kids had gone, and I'd done a little bit when the kids were little. I took some classes here or there, and then that was just kind of frustrating because you know how it is with little kids. So then I just kind of was like, I'll do it later. And then I got really busy in ministry, and just it was something that kind of, it was always there. I mean, insecurity, you know, it was always there. But I stayed busy enough to where I just kind of pressed it down, you know. And then three of the kids were gone to college. I had all this time on my hands, and ministry wasn't keeping me as busy as it had been. And that's when I was like, okay, like I've got to go. I've got to take care of this unfinished business. So I actually got a job at the University of North Florida in Jacksonville. And was working full time, and then also went back to school full time and got a degree, and just fell in love with college, with learning, with the whole environment. So then I finished my degree, and I was like, okay, well, I mean, and the school, you know, my work was helping to pay for it. So I was like, maybe I should get a master's. So I've done a year of a master's program, and then we got called here. And I just felt like I have to finish. So I'm traveling back and forth to Jacksonville this semester. Hopefully in the spring, my classes will be online, and I'm hoping to take one at UAB. So after the semester, it might be easier. But as far as like leaving Jacksonville and coming here, I feel like the Lord just made it clear. So it wasn't hard. I mean, it's hard to leave our friends and our church and, you know, the things that we love there. But, you know, I feel like that we've moved quite a bit, but every move, Tom and I have just always felt like this is God's call. And I don't really know how to explain that other than it's just like, it makes so much sense. He reveals it in a way that to say no would be, it just wouldn't be right. So I don't question it. It's where we're supposed to be. We're happy to be here. Everybody we've met is so welcoming and so wonderful. And I'm good. Just pray for me on the road. That's what I need your prayers for. Anybody else?
Just a quick one. In your spare time, which you have so
much of. I mean, I'm a, believe it or not, even though I'm up here, I don't know how Leslie wrote me into this, but I'm a very behind the scenes. Like, I love to help set up a lot of these things that, you know, you guys are talking about tonight. I'm not going to lead a Bible study. I'm not going to teach. I mean, I might teach kids Sunday school. I don't know. If somebody asks me to do it, I'll probably do it. But like I said, it's more supportive behind the scenes, loving and caring for you guys, supporting Tom, trying to tell him when his sermons are too long. I don't know. That's what I feel called to.
What is your master's degree in?
It's in higher ed administration. So it's working in college or university and the administrative side of things. Yeah. So hopefully UAB or Samford or somebody will take me on at some point.
We're glad you're here.
Thank you. Thank you.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.